My name's Kyle Pryor. I'm originally from Texas, and we did this work. I did this work my senior year as an undergraduate at Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah. It was like we kind of had mentioned this earlier. We use computer scientists and also those in public health, so it's kind of a conglomeration effort, some work there. And now I'm working on a master's degree at Hopkins, the School of Public Health. So this was identifying health-related topics on Twitter. We did this research. We presented it at a conference in March, and we think it's – and I have no disclosures. Let me just go ahead. So just real quickly, I'm going to talk a little bit about the background as far as online social networks in general, how what's the prevalence of their usage, some limitations in working with online social networks and media. And in this case, we chose to look at Twitter as our data source. And so we'll look at why we chose Twitter and some, I think some of the advantages and disadvantages to using Twitter. Introduce our problem, what we were looking at, and some of our methods, how we collected the data from Twitter, how we analyzed the data using latent directly allocation. And so we'll look at kind of then also the results, so kind of the output. I want to show you the output of that and kind of how we can extrapolate what that means in real life terms and some of the use, how that can be used. So online social networks, as we know, are literally changing the way people communicate today. The internet itself is growing and taking off, and this right here shows kind of just the percent of internet users who are adopting social networks, and so you can see that's increasing. I think one of the downsides to looking at social media as a data source is the fact that in poor areas there may not be limited access to computers to social networks, and so that's one of the things. As far as internet access, U.S. has about 77% have internet access. In developed countries, it's about 69%. And then overall in the world, it's about 30%. In developing countries, it's about 21%. So you can see there's some disparities there in just pure access to the internet. So that's going to influence any work we're going to do with social networks. And I think it's also important to note that our online interactions within social networks are actually influencing not only our online behaviors and how we perceive things, but also offline relationships and behaviors. And so there is some work that's showing that, and so they can kind of work together in that way. So Twitter, who else familiar with Twitter? I think we all are. Okay, cool. So a tweet. I'm going to use the word tweet. It's just your status update. You have to basically write a status update, and it has to be 140 characters or less. So you're really limited in what the extent of what you can say at one point. This stat right here, but 54.5 million people have used Twitter in the United States, and I'm sure that's a lot higher now, and that's underestimated. And then demographics, a really, really tough thing about Twitter is the demographics, and I think in general is guessing on these demographics. And so Quantcast.com, they note that 45% are between the ages of 18 and 35, with 63% being under 35 years. And this, I think, is that's important to note to keep in the back of your mind when dealing with online, any social media. And I like this cartoon. I don't know if you can read it. It says, "I'm so glad you agreed to meet in person. There are some things that just can't be said in 140 characters." So anyways, okay, online dating with Twitter, I guess. But it's relevant. Twitter as a public health data source. One of the reasons we chose to use Twitter is it's very accessible. The data is readily available, and Twitter allows you to do this. And they make it easily accessible through their application programming interface, through the Twitter API. And so this is relatively easy to do and pretty cheap to do too, so it's not very expensive. There is literature and there is research being done that's using Twitter specifically to understand offline health behaviors and trends. So Chu and Eisenbach in 2009 presented work on looking at information regarding H1N1, looking at the types of tweets, whether they were news-related, whether they were just people talking. And they found out that about 46% were news-related tweets that regarded H1N1 that mentioned it, and only 7% contained misinformation. So they concluded it was a relatively trusted source for gaining H1N1 information and news. There has been Scanfield, they've done work looking at tweets and whether people are, and how they tweet about antibiotic use, whether they're doing that in a way that's, that follows guidelines, that's a proper usage of antibiotics. And I think one of the interesting ones, Collada in 2010, they just looked at just keywords relating to symptoms of influenza, flu, and by identifying those keywords, they were able to look in different areas geographically and were able to, with a 0.78 correlation with the CDC's findings, to be able to track flu outbreaks. I think that's pretty cool, too, showing that it actually does transfer over into real-world situations and not just online. And so we chose to look at tobacco as a topic that we're interested in and into learning about. Tobacco is very relevant, I think, as a public health issue. Approximately 20% of adults in the United States are smokers. And attributed to over 14 million deaths since 1964. 400,000 smokers and former smokers die each year. It's the number one preventable disease. And secondhand smoke is a continuing concern, with about a little under 40,000 non-smokers who die from secondhand smoke each year. So the problem that we addressed was we know that people are using social media more and more, and they're creating data. I mean, they're creating messages, and it's increasing the amount of data we have from these online sources. We're looking at that there, and what I think other literature has shown is that there is potentially relevant conversations for public health issues, whatever you may be looking at. One of the big drawbacks is it's really difficult to really identify and browse through these health topics among such large data sets. Because a lot of times we want to hone in on something specific that we're looking at, in this case, tobacco use, whatever it may be. But when you've got tons of other stuff talking about, Kim Kardashian getting divorced or something, it's going to be difficult to find those topics that you're really interested in. So some of the questions that we started off with is how can topic modeling be used most effectively to identify relevant public health topics on Twitter? So just in general, what kind of public health topics can we identify using our analysis? And then specifically, just to see how well we could do it, we want to look at tobacco. What tobacco-related themes could we identify? And then I think as a side, kind of how do the number of tweets or our data set size there influence our LDA output? So how much do we need to really get something, or is there a data overload that actually kind of limits us there? So about LDA, I'm not going to go into too much depth about it, but it is unsupervised machine learning generative probabilistic model, identifies latent topic information from text corpora. So each topic that identifies represents a probability distribution over a number of words. And this is really proposed in 2002. And we used an implementation of it in Mallet. I would highly recommend it if you are looking for a place to go to use LDA. And there's a link right there. It's UMass at Amherst that we use. So, in sampling our data, we randomly chose 9 states within the United States based off the one from each of the federal census divisions, and those are the states we ended up with randomly chosen. Like I said, we use the Twitter search API specifically, and they have a geocode parameter, which is really useful because you can actually choose what locations, within a geographic circle, where we want tweets to come out of. And so we just gathered every new tweet about anything every 2 minutes for a month last year, from October 4th to November 3rd. So in all, we gathered right about 6 million tweets in that period, just within those 9 states. And then we created 3 subsets for analysis, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But 2 of the subsets, we just used every tweet that all the tweets together was one subset. Another set, we actually, we queried these terms, smoking, tobacco, cigarette, cigar, hookah, and hookah, two different alternate spellings there. So we wanted a specific one just around kind of tobacco and smoking to look at as well. And this is kind of showing this. So up at the top, we have a comprehensive data set, which we just looked at 14 days, which is about 2.2 million tweets. We ran LDA over that whole sample. And we really just came with some health-related topics, but we found nothing that was tobacco-related, which I think just because of the low frequency of people, you know, talking about tobacco. So from there, we created a subset that we just looked at those terms, that tweets that mentioned those tobacco-related words, and we had about a little under 2,000 tweets there. And really what we found out of that, it was really the topics were not cohesive. They didn't make much sense. It was too small of a sample size there to get anything relevant there. So what we did then is we used the whole 31 days and we just, the 5.9 million tweets. And then we extended that just looking with the words related to tobacco use. And we came out with about 5,000, ran LDA on that. And we actually found some interesting things. So once we increased that, once we were able to increase our tobacco-related tweets. With that first run that we did, I'm looking at just health-related topics in general. This is literally our output. And just to give you a sense of it, and the numbers are the actual topic numbers. And we did 250 topics for this run. But really, you can see two important things, I think, that we found were some of the topics were related, were more individuals that were tweeting about stuff, so more conversational type tweets, I guess. And others were more like news, kind of more blasted out there, not so much personal. And I think that's really interesting to separate that out, because depending on what you're looking at, if you want to look at what people are actually saying to their friends, this would be very useful. And so topic 44, I think, was definitely more regarding individuals and their tweets, but dealt with more exercise and fitness and people talking about their fitness. So you can see GPS app, calories burned, fell all rate, race report, weights, workout, workout name, started cycling, core fitness, there's Ironman, log your run on your iPhone, big improvement, those sorts of things. 45, in contrast, you can see is more not so much individual talking going on, but we see stuff that's more related to kind of medical news, politics, current events. So we have Alzheimer's disease, breast augmentation, compression garments, weekly newsletter, lab result, medical news, prescription medications, elder care, joblessness remains, true recession. So you see some of that bleeding through there as far as politics and policy goes. How am I on time, by the way? Okay, cool. This topic right here, 131, was really interesting because it just dealt with primarily weight loss and advertising and promotion of weight loss products, which you kind of think Twitter, okay, that makes sense. There's a lot of people tweeting, trying to sell stuff. So you see weight loss, diet pills, acai berry, healthy living, fat loss, weight loss diets, belly fat, alternative health, fat burning, pack abs, organic gardening, essential oils, HCG diet, anti-aging, muscle gain, and then Perez Hilton encourages something. So I don't know, looking at our celebrity blogger there. And then we looked at, so those were n-grams, so which were just multiple, more than one word, clusters, groups. And then we did find something that was related to more drug use and marijuana use, and this topic 18 here, but you see high, smoke, weed, currency, bro, hit, kush, swag, blunt, a lot. So you see these things that are actually related. And it's interesting, out of that, all the, you know, the, so many tweets of 14 days, that was about 3 million tweets right there. We're actually pulling out topics that are relevant. And so these are the high frequency topics, stuff that people are talking about the most, that were related to health that we could find. So again, we did not find, there was not very good topics relating to tobacco use when we just did the subset analysis. So when we extended our N to about 5,000 and we ran LDA, we actually came up with some more interesting things. And then this time we just chose five. We just did five topics. And Some of them, I think, again, show this idea of individuals talking about things, and then also also just kind of more promotional or kind of group or kind of just more generic type tweets, I would say. But in topic one, we see both tobacco use and drug use, kind of more individuals talking about it, so smoking weed, we see smoking gun, I don't know if that's related, smoking crack, stop smoking, cigarette burns, hookah bar, smoke cigars, smoking kush, hand smoke, hookah house, he's smoking, don't understand, talking about, I'm reading. So these are much more, you can see people talk, actually just, this is more discussion around what an individual would say. Topic two, we see more about addiction recovery and advertising. So quit smoking, stop smoking. And then you can also see stuff, people trying to sell smoking-related products, so, you know, cigar guy, smoking cigarettes, hookah bar. Quitting smoking, started smoking, e-cigarettes, electronic cigarettes, cigars link, so we substituted any link for the word link. So you can see it's linking out to some of the cigars. Cigar shop, quit smoking cigarettes. A link to quit smoking naturally. Another link to quit smoking, and another link to holistic remedies. So some interesting things there. So kind of a mixture of addiction recovery and advertising, which were interesting. Topic three was this is a lot less cohesive, and you kind of see this is kind of where sometimes this I think LDA breaks down, especially using data like Twitter. But you do see stuff like with recovery, quit smoking, stop smoking, secondhand smoke, effective steps, and you see some tobacco promotion related stuff like clubs, bars, drink special, free food, ladies night. Topic four, we see a lot more promotion by bars and clubs. I think this is a really interesting topic because I think, looking at how tobacco is being promoted and seeing how, hookah or water pipe usage is definitely something here we see. So you see Ladies Free, Piedmont Circle, which is, I think, an establishment when we looked into it. Hookah is great food. So something, some sort of restaurant or something promoting hookahs with food. A smoking room, Halloween party, a million people. And you see some with just marijuana, smoking weed, pot smoking right there too. And then topic five, we saw that you can see more tweets related to anti-smoking and addiction recovery. Stop smoking, chewing tobacco, smoking kills, chain smoking, ban smoking, people die. Healthiest smoking products, they're smoking, hate cigarettes. I see World Series on there too. Just kind of giving you a sense of the output of what we got, what LDA can give you. And I think this, I've already kind of covered this, but when we look at this large data set, it really provides a few health-related topics when using LDA. And I think that's, we did see stuff with marijuana-related terms and some other what we discussed. So I think it's using that sort of analysis is best at looking for, if you're looking at trends, what are some public, our overarching trends that you're seeing with what people are talking about on Twitter. And I think one of the downsides is we had to select terms that we were going to query to run LDA on. I think that's a definite downside. So we had to manually do that. So we may be missing stuff or we may be biasing it. Also, I think one thing that this methodology may be only specific more towards chronic behaviors and maybe not as much for short-term events. That's something that we haven't looked at. I think it does provide some useful information that may, and especially with the be able to know on a geographically where people are at within the, a specific mile radius, this could be really useful for understanding different health problems, whatever it may be, whatever you want to look at in your community, in specific communities. And so, yeah, it's me. And the paper you can get online if you want to look more about the paper. But thanks a lot.